wife abuse, rampant homosexuality, gang rape, murder, injustice, brother killing brother, and kidnapping. That sounds like what you would normally see during the 10 o'clock news or 6 o'clock news in Tucson or Green Valley, Florida, right? Actually, that happened many thousands of years ago in the time of the Book of Judges. So I guess nothing really has changed. Human wickedness has remained as is. When the evil isn't dealt with properly, these things happen. So there is a cycle that happens. It has a tendency to grow. Here is the interesting chain reaction. It all starts with a human, one-person, individual mindset, and that goes to from spiritual condition. And when the spiritual condition goes from good and mountaintop experience to the valley, and then they don't take care of that thing, and it gives into the worldly influence. My pointer just went dead. That person's family will suffer, and family will start to disintegrate because of the lack of love for one another. When the family start to fall apart, the people will see the moral chaos happens pretty soon. The moral chaos, when the social morality goes down and decays to the point of accepting wrong as right, and right pushes right as wrong, and we will face political corruption in the nation. When the political corruption happens, it brings down the nation to the end. This is not, but then again, I just quoted what's happening in the Book of Judges. So far, we went through 18 chapters. Now we're going to see the decline of a nation. This is almost like what we see in America, isn't it? Look at it from the individual around 1920s in America. People were told to pray in public area, and politicians were praying, and they couldn't wait to pray. Around 1960s, when the moral went haywire, free sex came, and the hippie movement came, that's the descendant, that's the time where we're descending down. But do you know what was juncture was? What was the junction to make that difference? Marilyn O'Hara. Remember that woman's name? She pushed Supreme Court to throw prayer out of school. That was a turning point, America, from God-fearing Christian nation to now is a non-Christian nation. That was the first point. Until then, America never lost war. Guess what was the first one they lost? Vietnam War. America lost war against a little country, Vietnam. Why? Because God is not backing up. It doesn't matter what kinds of nuke we have. We just cannot stand it. So with that in mind, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in seeking your will, seeking your guidance through your word. Let us learn from these people that we may not do the things that they've done, and let us not repeat the things we have done. Let us do the things that please you, and let us do the things bring glory to your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys read the book, chapter 19 of Judges? Good. For those who haven't read, it's book of, chapter 19. It's one of those chapters that I would love to delete from the book of Judges. And just flat out gross. And nowadays, there's a lot of TV series has gross things, right? Like a CSI or whatever, you name it, they show every part of the inside of human body. This is kind of like that. Levi, there's a guy, that he's a Levite, and he's a priesthood, and he had a concubine, and she played harlot against him, and she ran away from him, went to her father's home, where it's located in Bethlehem. She went after her and spoke kindly to her to take her back from her father's home, and her father-in-law, to that man, husband, and asked him to stay, so he spent a few nights. And when the time came and they left on the way back to their home, they were about to stop at the Jerusalem, and he declined because it's a foreigner's place. It's a Jebusite was residing there, so he chose to stay one night at Gibeah. But when they stayed in the Gibeah, this is what's going to happen, and they found themselves in the situation like a Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll pick up the story from verse 22. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly the certain men of the city and perverted men surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally." But the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now, humble them, and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing." But the man would not heed him, and so the man took his concubine and brought her out to them, and they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master arose in the morning and opened the door of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands at the threshold. And he said to her, "Get up and let us be going." But there was no answer. So man lifted her up onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, he laid hold of his concubine, and divided her into the 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, "No such a deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it and confer and speak up." Don't you feel like you're hearing the same song, second verse from chapter 19 of Genesis? You know, Sodom and Gomorrah people surround this person, the Lot's home, and when the angel was inside, they tried to go after these two angels. See, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Benjamites, should know that that was the main reason why the Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But they are repeating the same sin. I'm going to side note, homosexuality is not in the genes. God didn't make them that way. It's a complete perversion. Man who is driven, man and woman who are driven by the perversion, and they choose to do it that way. It's by their choice. It's not like somebody making them do it. And more, they realize the older generation of gay and lesbians are dying because of disease, and they are trying to recruit young people. That's why they're going after young people in the high school, in junior high school. They're trying to brainwash them as if it's a normal thing. It is not normal. It is abnormal. It is a perversion. A father could offer his own daughter to this lustful mob. How can that be? We cannot fathom. But however, we have to understand that their custom. In their custom, hospitality is more important than anything else for that host of the house. So at any cost, they will provide hospitality to the guest of the house. At this point, and we shake our head, this kind of thing cannot happen. Or really, it can happen. It's happening in America. It's happening around the world. We let our children be violated with the movies and concert and music and all these things. In those settings, what do they hear? What they see is far worse than what's happening in here. In the culture in this period of time, it's a supreme value to take care of their guests. And woman's value, woman's position was far less, more like another possession, another property to a man. About 40 years ago in America, there was a big movement within the radical group known as Women's Live Movement. Of course, that was another disguise from the Satan. And though the Women's Live Movement activities said that the Bible is a male chauvinist book, it cannot be trusted. The reason is because this particular area, Judges, and as well as the book of, and some of the New Testament, that the man is superior. Because they didn't understand the Bible, they didn't take the Bible in context, they are saying this. Jesus and the New Testament writers put woman in a more equality position than any other people, than any other religion. And also that Bible is the one speaking about a woman's equal value as man, with a man. In God's eyes, woman, man, free, slave, or whatever the situation, whatever the social situation, we are equal in His eyes. Why then the Bible says a man is a superior? That is a problem with translation in English. Correct translation should be senior, seniority, higher seniority, because man was created before woman. Seniority, if you've been in the company, you know what that means. Seniority comes with a lot of perk. Same time, seniority comes with a responsibility. As a man, before woman, man has more responsibility. Great. Yeah, we have a seniority, but we have a more responsibility. Sometimes I like to skip the responsibility portion, but that's not the case. God will hold us for more responsibility. Sad to say, the modern society pushing out the Christianity and its influence, we are seeing the pattern of a degradation and devaluation of a woman again. Making a woman to be another possession, another property. If you think I'm joking, I'm not. What do you think pornography is? How does that pornography treat a woman? Meat. That's about it. And exploit woman in a horrible way. And pornography, prostitution, and unspeakable abuse. Folks, let's face it. Biggest joke man pulled on woman is free sex in the 1960s. Man and woman break up their relationship. Guess who get hurt more? Man or woman? Woman. Guess who end up having a kid? Woman. So is that a good, biggest joke or not? It is. Devil sugarcoats this with something else. Fame, short-lived fame, money, and a false love. False security for woman. And nowadays, woman going for the hook, line, and sinker. If you don't agree with me, just look at the tabloid. Woman will do just about anything for their short-lived fame. Same time, I can, in this, back to this chapter 19 of the Levi's concubine, I can see why she ran away from him from the beginning. Did you notice this guy literally hand her to the angry, lustful mob just to save his own skin? And in the morning, as a matter of fact, while she being abused, he was sleeping in the house. And he got up, probably he decked himself up and got on the tried to get on the donkey, and there is a woman. He didn't even help her to get up. Of course, by then, she's already dead. And then he mutilated her into the pieces and sent her bodies to the 11 tribes with a message. This guy is a piece of work, I guess. Let's go down to the verse 11 of chapter 20. Verse 1, I'm sorry. So all the children of Israel came out from the Dan to Beersheba. That means north to south. Dan means the farthest north city, and the Beersheba is farthest in the south city, as well as from the land of Gilead. And the congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord at Mizpah. And the leaders of the old people, all the tribes of Israel, present themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew a sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. Then the children of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this wicked deed happen?" So the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "My concubine and I went to the Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin, to spend the night. And the men of Gibeah rose against me, surrounded the house at night because of me. They intend to kill me, but instead of they ravished my concubine so that she died." He skipped a few facts that he handed her out. "So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the territory of the inhabitants of Israel because they committed lewdness and outrage in Israel. Look, all of you, our children of Israel, give your advice and counsel here and now." So all the people arose as one man, saying that none of us will go to his tent, and nor will any turn back to his house. But now this is the things which we will do to the Gibeah. We will go up against it, and by lot we will take the 10 men out of every 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 out of every 1,000, and 1,000 out of every 10,000, to make a provision for the people, that when they come to Gibeah in Benjamin, they may repay all the violence that they have done in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city and united together as one man. Israelites want to deal with this rebellion of the Benjamites. So they inquired the Lord which tribe should go first. I have a situation with this kind. I have a problem with this kind of thing. At the beginning, I assumed what God should do is what I want to do. You follow me? I assumed that since this is what I want, that's what God wants. How immature, how stupid I was. Instead of assuming God's position, I should ask God, "What do you want me to do?" This is case in point with these people. Instead of saying, "Which one of us, which one of our tribes should go first?" They should have asked, "Do you want us to go against this Benjamite?" We should ask God's will, not giving him multiple choices. We often do that. We give them multiple choices. Should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do that? One out of these three or four. God's way is far better than ours, as heaven is higher than earth. So we cannot really try to put him in the place or put in a formula. As we have learned, that Jesus didn't heal people in any particular way consistently. He did it many different ways. The reason is because he didn't want us to come up with any idea of the formula. Instead of for them to ask God, "Which one of us should go first?" they should have asked him, "Do you want us to go against this Benjamite?" Between verse 12 and 17, we find that there are other tribes. Israel did the right thing by asking the tribe of Benjamin that, "Why don't you hand those people of Gibeah, to us?" But the Benjamite didn't comply with the people's request. they rather stick, show their loyalty to their tribes instead of obedience to God's word. In God's word in Deuteronomy, this kind of homosexuality should be strictly dealt with death. If that's the case, if God consistently did that until now, there won't be a whole lot of people in San Francisco, let alone in America. When God's people refuse to obey God's word, the result is always tragic. It's a terrible thing. The spiritual life of the church is crippled by the eventual destroyed and destroyed by when we become disobedient. And a lot of times in the church, instead of taking care of the sin in the church with the right church discipline, they try to pick up the rug and then sweep it under the carpet. That will not happen in this church. We will deal with the sin in the church right way, proper way. Covering sin might please people, but it displeases God. At the first censor, and when it happened, Numbers chapter 17, I believe, chapter 1, when it happened, there were 35,400 men in the Benjamin, tribe of Benjamin. When they did another second censor, chapter 26 of Book of Numbers, there were 45,600 people. By that time, the fight between the Israel people and Benjamite, there were only 600 people survived. Can you see there's a Gibeah and there's a Jerusalem? And Rimmon is the rock-formated kind of fortress-like area. There's a lot of rocks. And that's where the 600 people ran away. And these people were there. Now, the situation is we will find out that these people did not repent. These 600 Benjamites ran away from Israeli army and stay there for 4 months. But we don't see anywhere in the Bible they repented from their wrongdoing and their disobedience to God. They just survived through the war. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn on an oath at Mizpah, saying that none of us shall give his daughter to the Benjamin as a wife. Then the people came to the house of God and remained there before God until evening. They lift up their voices and wept bitterly and said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that today there should be one tribe missing in Israel? It sounds noble. However, they are the one who dealt with the Benjamite harshly. They went into the many different cities and killed everyone in the sight, including animals. Now they're saying kinds of the result of pushing to the God's side. You made it happen. God didn't. Again, this Benjamite survivors at the Rimmon, and they were staying there without any repentance. Verse 4. So it was on the next morning that people rose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offering and peace offerings. Children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up with the assembly to the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning anyone who had not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying that he shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel grieved for the Benjamin, their brother, and said, one tribe is cut off from the Israel today. What shall we do for wives, for those who remain? And seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters as wives. And they said, what one is there from the tribe of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? And in fact, no one had come to the camp from the Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. For when the people were counted, indeed not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was there. So the congregation sent out their 12,000 of their most valiant men and commanded them, saying, Go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, including women and children. And this is the things that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman who had known a man intimately. So they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known the man intimately, and they brought them to the camp of Shiloh, which is the land of Canaan. Instead of getting the direction from God, these people came up with their own solution. We often do that. We cluck our tongues and say, what a stupid way to do it. It's to solve a problem, they kill more people. Sounds like our bureaucrat, doesn't it? And cause a problem and pour out more money and see if that's going to fix it. We should seek God's counsel. James said, if anyone lacking in wisdom, simply ask. He will give it to us. So instead of when the situation is bad, trying to patch up with another stupidity, we should seek counsel. Let's make an example. Let me be the example. When I was self-employed, we had a lot of debt. And, you know, some of you guys know the self-employed, you have to pay the tax quarterly. If you don't pay the tax quarterly, IRS don't like you. And when IRS don't like you, you become on their blacklist. When you become on the blacklist, they send you a very personable letter to you frequently. And I started owe tax, and guess what I did? That's when I became a Christian, a brand new Christian. Didn't know from one end of Bible to another end. Instead of paying and seeking God's counsel, guess what I did? I borrowed the money from credit card company. Do you know how stupid that is? Do you know what's the interest rate for the cash advance that is? High. At that time, it was only mere 18%. My balance was stacking up higher, faster than I could pay. Once I repented, God helped me. It took 5 years to get out of that hole. Folks, do not make a mistake like I've done. Don't come up with your own solution to fix the problem. Seek God. So they tried to come up with the 600 to help this tribe of Benjamin to survive. So they killed more people and kidnapped 400 women, young virgins, and then they allowed this Benjamite to kidnap another 200 women, and they so that these people can survive. Do you know all of this? All three chapters. Incident coming up from one person, the Levite, who had a concubine. Instead of handing her out to the angry mob, he could stand up for her safety and stick his neck out. If he believed God, God would take care of that person. Or even if he get killed, it wouldn't come to the point of the civil war. Because one man's attitude. Let's go back to what we studied last week. Remember young Levite who became a priest of the Micah's home? And he was a priest for hire. He was willing to serve anyone at any cost. He no longer served God, but he served his own greed. And he found, when he realized he can be the priest of the tribe of Dan, he didn't care. He was worshiping idol that could not talk, that could not touch the people, that could not change people's lives. He's willing to serve that stupid idol. Because individual spirituality is going down the drain, and guess what happened? Then social morality decayed to the point of accepting right, wrong as right and right as
wrong.
And this is what we see. And then that brings a nation to be corrupted, and nation goes down the drain. For four times throughout this book of Judges, we find there was no king in Israel. And for two times, we find they did everything right according to their own eyes. Let's go to verse 25 of chapter 21. Way in the back. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Folks, when there is no king, they reject, Israel did not have a king at the time, and they reject the king again. And they chose Barabbas instead of real king. King eternal, immortal, invisible, only wise God. And still they don't have a king. When he comes back, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his name is written on his thigh, and he will come down from heaven. And the Israeli people will cover their mouth and cry out to God, hallelujah. They might be too late. I made a few notes here. Observation I make from Book of Judges. God is looking for a servant. God is looking for a servant, people who are available to hear his word, to receive his power, and to do his will. If he calls us to serve him, it's not because we are so good. I know you. Some of you could think you are perfect. I have a surprise for you are not. You ain't perfect. He's not calling us because we have everything together. He's calling us because he is willing to use a puny, pathetic people like us. Even if we don't have a leadership capability, good example, Gideon. God called him mighty man of God. And he was cowering himself in the wine press, hiding away from the Philistine. And God made him to be the leader. Let's not look to ourselves. Let's look to the Lord. Second point that I find is God graciously forgive and help us to begin again. Remember the circle I made? When they were in right with God, God blessed them. Remember that? And they start to slip away. They sin against God. And God used the enemy of Israel to bring them to the place where they get on their knees and start to beg to God. And God raised up the judges. And God delivered them out of the hand of the enemy's hand. And then they come back to the great place where they start to serve God. A little bit later, guess what they do? Walk away from God, sin against God, worship the false idols, and then they end up in the hands of the enemy again. We went through that vicious cycle for seven times during the study of the book of Judges. Folks, that's not just limited in the book of Judges. We often do that. While we're on the mountaintop, we are so close with God so we can feel his breath. And because we think we have something, we walk away from God. We sin against God. And God, because God loves us, he chastises us. Before I finish this study, Karen and I were talking. We know a person who walked away from God. And we're wondering why God is not chastising that person. I used a phrase that walked away from God because that person claimed to be a Christian. And I said to Karen, maybe that person may not be a Christian because God is not chastising that person at all. God is not going to chastise a person when that person is not his. He will just let that person go through whatever do. We know that God loves us when He chastises us because we are His. So we can come to the point where we repent and deliver back to His hand. That is a good place to be in. Third point I'd like to bring to you is God's word standing despite of God's people's unfaithfulness. God's word standing despite of people's unfaithfulness. Judges accomplished in what they did, not because they are so good, because they believed in God's word. Some of their faith was weak, but God honored their flimsy faith and strengthened them. God's word never fails. If we obey it, God will bless us. God is He's faithful, and He will make the things right, and He will accomplish His purpose. But if we disobey His will, He is faithful to chastise us so that we may come to submission. Listen carefully, please. As His children, we live on His promise. We are not living on His explanation. He is not obligated to tell us why He's doing what He's doing. Let me repeat one more time. We are not living on His explanation, but we're living on His promises. Fourth point I'd like to bring to you is when God's people are unspiritual, nations decay. We, New Testament and Jesus said that we are what? Light of the world and salt of the world. He didn't say we should become salt or we should become light. He said that we are the light. We are the salt. When the salt loses flavor, what did He say? We should be trampled down on the street. G. Campbell Morgan said the church did the most for the world when the church was the least like the world. Isn't that good? Church did the most for the world when the church is the least like the world. G. Campbell Morgan. Today, many churches try to imitate the world in the things that they do. They come up with a marketing strategy. They actually, some of the churches has a marketing department? And they use a telephone marketing people. They actually hire telephone marketing people and contact people so they can expand their kingdom. I thought, what now? Nation doesn't decay because of collapse of the morality. Nation doesn't decay because of somebody peddling the pornography. Nation doesn't decay because there is too much narcotic. You know why it decays? Nowadays, nation decays if there's no Christian. The Christian who wouldn't stand up as a salt and light. When we start to compromise, the rest of them goes down the drain rather quickly. Compromising Christian is not only hurt themselves, they hurt other people's families and churches and contribute to the decay of the nation. Fifth point I'd like to bring to you is God still bless those who live by faith. You might want to jot this down. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequences. I'll repeat it one more time. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequences. Even though we may know that if we are proclaim that we are Christian, we might face persecutions. Let me rephrase that. We will face persecution. We have a choice. We can say, I'm not going to claim that I'm a Christian, or we can declare ourselves as a child of God. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequences. it also means obeying God no matter what. Faith is not dependent on emotion. Some people like to depend on their emotion during a church service. God is more logical than that. He speaks to us through this word. Whole lot better than our emotion. Can we trust our emotion? Can we trust our emotion? No. If that's the case, the Iraqi people are perfectly right people. Those people in Taliban, people in Afghanistan is perfectly right people. Because to them, they are right, we are wrong. We are Satan's cohort. Our emotion cannot be trustworthy. And our emotion can be seared. Our conscience can be seared according to the word of God. We cannot serve God without faith. It is impossible to please Him without faith. If we wait for it until we have perfect faith, forget it. You and I don't have a perfect faith. We'll never have a chance to serve Him. As I said before, if we come to Him the size of mustard seed faith, He will take the rest of it. No Christian can do everything, but every Christian can do something. So let's do our part. Start with believing Him without His explanation. Why does He do what He does? I have no idea, but He didn't tell me to ask for His explanation, but He told me to believe in Him. So, in my opinion, Book of Judges is a reality map of current events. Don't you agree? So read ahead of 1 Thessalonians, and it's a great book. I'm looking forward to study. Let's stand up and pray.